But I'm happy to be back outside this morning. I'm happy. I know we're going to move back in the building at some point in time, but just to be honest, I'm kind of liking it out here. And I think maybe we will get some 55-gallon drums and fill them full of scrap wood and just stand around them and to stay warm while we gather outside, perhaps. But I've been having a great time outside. I know some of you agree with that. And the Word of God, it feels different. It feels different when I'm outside. At least it has. I've very few times had preached outside until this year. And I enjoy that. So I'm blessed by what God has allowed us to do here. I'm blessed that even the rain is coming later. I think we had like 3 drops one Sunday since the middle of March. We have been outside every single Sunday, and we've had to have shade, but we haven't had to have umbrellas. Maybe I'm saying, my mind is saying, if you don't get to preaching, you're going to run into some rain. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get moving here. One of the things I've done a lot of things in my life, but I've realized there's a lot of things I haven't done in my life. And one of those things that I had not done in my life very often until I was in my 30s, I was never in an airplane. I never flew. I was in a little single engine thing with my brother-in-law one time when we got up and kind of catted around a little bit and landed again. But that wasn't much higher than a good sized silo in Pennsylvania. So that wasn't really, you were up in the air, but you weren't really up in the air. You know, it's different when you get on a big airplane. They fly much higher, and you can see. And the first time that I got on an airplane, it was from New York, and I was flying to Israel. And so the very first time I was on an airplane, I got on this big 747 or whatever it is, and started flying. Well, it was nighttime. You leave and toward the night, it was dark. And so we were flying in the dark. And so there wasn't much to see when you're flying in the dark other than the people around you. And when it's nighttime, people aren't all that sociable. You know, so it was just kind of this boring flight. We flew into Zurich, Switzerland, and then we caught a flight and we flew down to Tel Aviv and so forth and so on. And I really never flew in the daylight until later on, I got to fly in the daylight, and on the way home, I got to fly in the daylight, and then later on that year, I flew from here to California, and I got to fly in the daylight, and it's really cool to fly in the daylight, and especially if you're next to a window, and some of you have flown way more than I have, and you know what a window view is like on an airplane, and I don't really like to sit next to the wing because I can't see past the wing. You know, it's just kind of a boring, just looking at the top of a wing. But when you get in a place where you can open the window shutter, so to speak, you can't really open the window. It's not like crank down, put your elbow out type business. But you can slide open the shade and you can see outside what's going on, what's underneath you. And you get this huge aerial view of what the landscape looks like. And I'm amazed at how much you can see it. 5 or 6, 7 miles in the air. I'm amazed at how you can see baseball fields. You can see crop fields. You can see cities, and you can see towns, and you can see rural areas, and you can see forests and woods and small patches and large patches. You can see gullies and valleys. You can see a lot of things from 6 or 7 miles in the air. And it's very intriguing, and especially out west when they have the irrigation and it kind of must run in a circle. Because all the fields, I said, well, why do they put everything in a circle? And when you look at just one circle after another, after another, after another, and it's got to be the irrigation goes in a circle. So you have these bunch of green circles that you're looking at. It's very intriguing to fly and even to fly over the water and see the ocean and fly over foreign countries and see the things that you don't normally see, but you're seeing them from 7 miles in the air. And it's very mesmerizing. The aerial view is very mesmerizing, but the aerial view lacks one thing of the feel of what it looks like or what it feels like down there. You're missing out on some of those things. You're missing out on the smells. You're missing out on the cheers at the ball field, even though you can see it. You're missing out on the crop field. You're missing out on the corn and what that looks like right up close, what it feels like. You can see it and you can see much more, but you're missing out on what it feels like and what it smells like. And so maybe there's an advantage of seeing it from 7 miles in the air, but there's an extreme advantage of seeing it where you can feel it, you can touch it, you can walk on it, you can smell it, you can hear the noises, not just a... Very intriguing to be up there, but very experiential to be here. To be walking, to be hearing, to be seeing. I think the Bible is the same way. I think many of us have this aerial view of the Bible. We have an aerial view of the Bible, and we can say, well, it's about creation. It consists of creation. Certainly it does. And we got this aerial view of creation, and we think, well, there's a Noah in the Ark type deal. Yes, that's there. See, that's a 7-mile view. That's a 7-mile view. When we stand away from the scripture, we can see some of those things just from walking through life. We know some of those things about the Bible from this aerial view. We know there's a David and Goliath episode. We don't know too much about it, maybe, perhaps, because we didn't get into it. We've only looked at it from 7 miles in the air. And there's other things in the Bible, like the Christmas story. We know that that's there. We know that there's something about Good Samaritan. We know there's a water to wine miracle that's going on. We know things. We know the big story. We know the big picture, maybe. We know Genesis through Revelation. Maybe we could even say the books of the Bible. But I'm not sure I'm sure that we're not only meant to have this 7-mile view of the Bible, of the Word of God. I think we're meant to have a hands-on view of the Word of God. And God wants us to land. The survey shows that the Bible, here I'm quoting here, the survey shows that the Bible is still firmly rooted in American soil. And it says this, it says 88% of people surveyed, 88% of people surveyed said they owned the Bible. Now we're talking about the United States, 340 million people. 340 million people, the ones that they asked, the test subject or the people that they did the survey on, 88% of those people owned the Bible. It says the average household has a little over 4 Bibles in the average household. 80% think the Bible is sacred. 80% of the United States residents think that the Bible is sacred. Think it's more than just a regular book. 80%. 57% said they read their Bibles, but 57% said they read their Bibles one or two times a year. So 61% of the people says, I wish I read my Bible more. Feel free to move where it's not raining if you want to. As long as my ink doesn't run off this page that I'm on, I will continue to preach, and feel free to move about and get under a canopy. But I find it interesting that 61% of 340 million people wish they read the Bible more. And it goes on to say that over 50% of Americans think that the Bible, listen, over 50% of Americans think that the Bible has little influence on our culture. 50% of the people surveyed thinks that the Bible has too little influence on our culture. 77% people think that our nation's morality is in decline. 33% of those people said the decline is because people aren't reading the Bible in a living according to the Word. I find that interesting too. The 77% of the people says that it is our world is in moral decline, but yet one-third, 120 million people in this country say that it's in decline because we're not men and women of the Word of God. We're only got an aerial view. We only have an aerial view of the Bible. We're not men and women of the Bible. We can answer, as I said at men's link, we can answer the category on Jeopardy, but we don't know what the Bible is. We're not having a part of the Bible in us. It's firmly rooted in the United States, but I'm asking if it's firmly rooted in us, not just laying around our homes. Yeah, only 20% of Americans read their Bible on any regular basis. 20%. 20% of people read their Bible on any regular basis. And I don't know, if you're feeling convicted right now because you haven't been in the Word in the last 3 or 4 days, good! I think that's what this is supposed to do. I think God convicts me at times when I haven't been in the Word enough, or I've just been in the Word to prepare some teaching or to prepare some lesson, but not in the Word so the Word can get in me. God said, I want you to have this aerial view. It's amazing. Creation, Noah, David and Goliath, the Christmas story. Man, those things are a great view, but you ought to see them at ground level. You ought to see them when you can get into them and walk around in them. You ought to see when God's talking directly to you. You ought to see them from when you can touch the bark on the tree, when you can smell the grass. You ought to see the Word of God when you really get into the Word of God. That's what it's designed. You can look at it from the air, and you can look at our land from the air, but our land is meant to be lived on. And the Word of God is meant to be lived on and lived in. We need to stop God in his aerial view and feeling good because we know something about David and Goliath, and we know something about the Christmas story, and we know something about Noah, and we know something about creation. We need to know a lot about God. And God puts it in his Word. And I've said this 100 times, and I'm going to say it 100 more times over the next probably couple of years. There's 31,104 verses of God's breath in here. The very breath of God is not meant to be just flown over. It's meant to be in and walked around in and felt. Do you know that the most likely person to read the Bible in the United States? You know what the most likely? I found a survey. You know what the most likely people to read the Bible are? From the South. They live in the city, and they're between 56 and 74 years old. That's the most likely person to read the Bible. From the South, living in the city, between 54 and 74. Do you know what the least likely person to be in the Word of God? They live in the Northeast. They live in small towns or rural America, and they're between 25 and 55. Guess who that is? That's us. We live in a culture, we live in an area that the statistics show that we live in a world, we live in a section of our world where there's least likely to be men and women of the Word of God. And God says, again, he says, I don't want you only to fly over the Word. I want you to know the Word, and I want you to know me through the Word. That's what I want. The Bible, first and foremost, is its desire. God's desire through the Bible is not just to teach you what to do. The Bible is to teach you who he is. And he says, you're anemic with the Word of God. You're anemic so you don't even know who I am. So you don't trust me. You don't trust that I can take your life and make it a miracle. You don't trust me that I can redeem you. You don't trust me that I can take your mess and make a message out of it. You don't trust me because you don't know me. Get out of the airplane, for crying out loud, and get into the Word of God and get to know God. And get to know his way. And get to know what he wants for you. Get to know who he thinks you are. Get to know him. And get to know his way. And get to know how his way works with his will. And how his will in his way. And how his love for you. And how his grace. And how his redemption power. And how his holiness. And how his justice all melt together in this beautiful picture for you and I to know God. But we're flying over it. It could be the number one sin of the church in the United States is we're not men and women of the Word. the survey does show that the Bible is firmly rooted in the United States. But I'm not sure the church is rooted in the Word of God. And as I said before at Men's Link just yesterday, that we'll take the Word of God, we'll take that truth out of the Word of God, and we'll try to cool it down so that we can apply it to our lives and it doesn't hurt as much. Rather than allowing God to heat us up, heat our fervor up, heat us up so that the hot word, the hot truth can get together with a hot man or woman of God and it can become one. He said, that's what I want. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know what I can do in your life. I want you to know more about me. I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know how holy I am. I want you to know what's beyond this earth. I want you to know those things. I wrote it down, 31,104 verses. I know there's a lot more I could write. Since creation has been 20, 30,000 years, I could have wrote volumes. I could have filled the earth with this, but I got this 31,104 verses collection so that you can know me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we were rooted in the Word of God? Can you imagine what it would look like? Can you imagine what our life would look like? Can you imagine our trust in God and it would be off the charts? I want to deplane a little bit this morning. And I just want to walk around. I call this message the big woods. I want to stop flying over the big woods and I want to get into the big woods. Is it harder to walk through the big woods than to fly over it? Yes. But do you come out of the big woods after you've walked through it? Do you come out with this richness, the understanding of the big woods and understanding what is in that big woods and what it can do and what it has done in your life? Yeah, I've walked through the big woods before too, and I have ended up with a swelled up ankle. I've ended up with a sore back, and I've ended up with a lot of aches and pains and groans because I was on the ground, because I was walking through. Sometimes I fell down. Sometimes I got nicks and bruises. I think that's going to happen when we walk through the Word of God. But I want to get out of the plane this morning, but I don't want to get out of the plane just alone. And as you know, a couple weeks ago, and as you men know from yesterday and the day before, that 1 John 2:20 says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. So I don't want to just deep plane. I want to deep plane on the edge of the big woods. And I want to say I have an anointing as I walk into the big woods. I have an anointing and I can know truth. I have an anointing and I can know truth. And I think that's what we need to get in our hearts and our minds. I have an anointing and I can know truth. And I'm going to be a man of the Word. I'm going to be a woman of the Word. We're going to be a body of the Word of God. And if God has given us an anointing, God's given us an anointing for multiple things. I believe He's given us anointing so we can touch and make people well. I think He's given us anointing so we can hear the prophetic words of each other, so we can give those prophetic words. I believe in the hawk message that I preached a few weeks ago. And I appreciate Ryan Mervine giving me a picture at Men's Link. He said, while you were preaching that message on the hawk message, you were talking about the hawks, you got to see this picture. And he said, while you were preaching that, there was three of them flying over you. And I got that picture now, and I've saved that picture, and you can see those hawks. And I believe the anointing comes. And I believe there's a prophetic anointing. And I believe there's an apostolic anointing. And I believe I'm beginning to believe more and more and more in miracles and wondrous signs that God's going to do. But here's an anointing that God has given us so that we all can understand the Word of God. He said, I've given you anointing so you can understand. So when you get out of the plane and you get into the big woods, you're going to be able to understand it because I've given you an anointing. And if you read that passage in 1 John even further, it says, this anointing will teach you. So here we go. I just want to spend a few moments in the big woods this morning. In the big woods that I call the big woods of the Bible is Psalm 119. And the few verses that we're going to go over this morning out of the 176 verses that are in that big woods. There's 176 verses in the big woods. There's a lot of possible tree stand places there. There's a lot of wildlife. There's a lot of things in the Word in Psalm 119. It's the big woods of the Bible, I think. So it's in your sermon outline. And I just want to talk this morning with a few things that the Word of God says. And I want to know if we believe them this morning. I just want to know if we believe them. Let me try to convince you that the Word of God will do these things in your life. And if you're struggling with things of your life, let me try to convince you this morning that these things will do this in your life. This Word of God will do this in your life. Let's just start with verses 2 and 3. It says, blessed are they who keep his statutes, or his word, his command, and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. One of my least favorite statements, and you know it, is I'm only human. For crying out loud, will you get rid of that? You are the temple of the Most High God. And he said, look what my word will do for you. Look at my word will do. Those who walk according to me, I'll never leave them. I'll never lead them in the wrong path. I'll never do it. I'll never lead them in the wrong path. They'll always lead them right. I'll always lead them forward. I'll always move them to the healthy. Will I bring you to the valley of the shadow of death? Yes, I will. And will we go through some stuff together? Yes, but I'll never lead you over the cliff. I'll never lead you into the mud. The Word of God will never lead you into the mud. It'll never lead you over the cliff. It'll only lead you to where God wants you to go. The loving God, the God of all this universe, the God of creation, the God who loves you, the God who is holy and right and just. He said, my word will never lead you away from me. My word will lead you in the path of rightness. And those who walk in it will not walk in error. Can you just imagine that you have that ability? You have the ability to walk with God and not walk in error. So the next time you want to say you're only human, can you just remind yourself that God said that you can walk with him? And he will never lead you. You can be a man or a woman of the Word of God. Look what he says in verse 11 of Psalm 119. He says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He said, in addition to that, that I'll never lead you astray. You know what else I'll do? I'll let you know what it takes and what will build a wall between me and you. And I don't want you to go there. I don't want this wall between me and you, God says. So I'm going to tell you in my word that you can hide my word in your heart, that you won't build this wall between God and yourself. So many times in our life, I think we build this wall between God and ourselves, and then we blame God. God, why didn't you do this in my life? Why didn't you show up in my life? And God says, I can really not see you through the bricks that you have laid a wall between me and you. Can we deal with the bricks? No, I just want you to solve this problem. You got a bigger problem than what you think. You got a brick wall between me and you. If you hide your word, my word, in your heart, you will not build this wall between me and you. I will be able to speak to you, and you will be able to hear from me. I will be able to give you what you need and to provide for you and to lead you forward. I will be able to light you up. I will be able to put the gospel in you. I will be able to speak to you in the grocery line so that you know that that person across the line needs to be prayed for right this single moment because God's going to heal them right now. But we got this wall between us and God and we can't hear those things. And God says when you're a man or a woman of the word, that wall will come down and you'll be able to hear and you'll be able to go and do and walk with me. And we'll do some amazing things. I hear God say that, and he's even more and more and more in my life. Hey, hang on, we're going to do some amazing things. We're going to do some. My brother used to tell me that, and those amazing we barely live through sometimes. He said, go ahead. I think this umbrella will carry you. Jump off the top beam in the barn and just hang under this umbrella. I think you can float to the ground with that. I said, are you sure? And he said, I'm pretty sure. He said, go ahead. See what you can do. I jumped out. Guess what? You can't be held down by a small umbrella. I don't care what the cartoons say. Instantly, the umbrella just folds right up like this, and you hit the ground like a rock. But God says, hang on, let me speak to you, let me talk to you, let me be a part. Let this wall between me and you fall down so you and I can do some amazing things. That's what the Word of God says it'll do. But we can't just fly over it. We need to land. We need to rely on the anointing, and we need to walk into that. We need to walk into that Word of God, ready for God to teach us and to mold us and to tell us who He is. Verse 24, I'm just skipping down through the big woods. Your statutes are my delights. They are my counselors. Can you imagine among the pages of the Word of God lives the counsel, is the counsel for the life, for this life situations, for every life situation. In its pages, it'll give you counsel for every single situation that you're in. There's more in the big woods than we have examined and that we know. We want to get into the big woods, and God said, I'm telling you, there's things in the big woods, and you're going to get in there, and you're not going to walk in error. You're not going to screw up. You're not going to walk in over the cliff because you're following me. And that wall you got between me and you, it's coming down, and you and I are going to do some amazing things. And when you get into a situation, life-altering situation, the Word of God's going to give you the counsel. It's going to tell you what to do. It's going to be able to unleash itself in you because it is the very breath of me, he says, because it's sharper than a double-edged sword, because it goes down deep. It'll tell you. It'll counsel you. How about verse 28? Just let me jump around here. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Can you imagine that the Word of God can do that? When I first moved to this area, there was a guy in Clappertown that was just, he was coming to the end of his life with cancer. And I didn't ever get to see him standing up. And Mr. Nagley was really suffering, and he was on a bed one time, and I stopped by to see him. And I really never seen him as the farmer, as the mountain of a man that he was in this world, and all the things that and whatever else encompass this man. But I only got to see the guy who had lost oodles of weight, and the cancer was eating his body, and he was coming to the end of his life. He actually didn't live very long after this episode with him. And I can remember sitting there, and I could still see his hand was a farmer's hand when he put his hand up just a little bit so I could grab a hold of it. It was softer, but it was still a farmer's hand. And I grabbed onto his hand, and I began to say, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need to fear no evil because God is with you. His rod and his staff, they'll protect you. And I began to read and quote out the 23rd Psalm because I didn't know what else to say. And all of a sudden, I feel the strength in this man's hand, grip my hand, and I looked up and I saw the tears running down his cheeks. And I watched the Word of God comfort a man that was in sorrow, comfort a man that was in his final days, comfort a man that had been limited to a bed when he had spent all his life on a horse or a tractor. I watched it work. I watched it work in his life. And the Word of God says, I will comfort you with my word. Receive my word and watch what it'll do in your side of you because it is alive. Because it's living. And it'll go down and it'll comfort the deepest, darkest spots of your heart. It word strengthens the soul despite of what's happening in your body. It strengthens your soul despite of what's happening in your body. The Word of God says it is the soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 37 says this, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. How many times have you looked at the wrong thing? I follow a guy out from the red light here. He was in an F-150. I felt a little better because I was in an F-250. But he was kind of slow, and of course, course, anybody that drives faster than me is a maniac, and anybody that drives slower than me is kind of a kook, you know. So he had to drive exactly like I drive, apparently. So he was driving a little slower than what I was driving, and I was probably following him closer than what the police officer may have wanted me to, and I don't know why that was. I guess I was in a hurry. But I all of a sudden, I see the guy in the mirror. I see his face in the mirror, in his rearview mirror, in a side mirror on his truck. And I watched him, and he looked down at his phone, and I counted. And then he looked up, and he looked down at his phone, and I began to count. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006, 1,007, 1,008. And he finally looked out the windshield again. 8 seconds. God said, you got your eyes on the wrong stuff. You need to be looking out the windshield. That's where life's going. You got distracted. You're looking at the wrong garbage in this world. He said, let me show you turn your eyes away from worthless things. And let me turn them toward the things of God. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says it'll do in our hearts and in our lives. It'll turn you away from worthless things. For crying out loud, you've given enough time to the worthless things of this world. I've challenged many of you and many people, and some even some of you, enough with the alcohol. You've given enough chance already. If it was going to do what you thought it was going to do, it would have done it 5 years ago. And some of you have taken that serious. And some of you have said no. And you turned your eyes away from that in your life. And you begin to turn your eyes toward God. And you're clean today. You got your license back today. You're working today. You're living today. Because the Word of God is alive in your lives. God said, I'll turn you away from worthless things. And I'll turn your eyes toward me. Look what he says in verse 45. He says this, I will walk about in freedom because I have sought your word. I have sought your precepts. I will walk about in freedom. The word of God. I know that many, many times I've talked to people, it's just a rule book, and shame on the church for turning it into that. And it's just a rule book, and it's just a rule book, and it's just a rule book. And I don't want to follow its rules, and I don't want to follow its rules. It's just a rule book. But it's not that. It's a liberation book. It's a book that will let you walk in freedom. And he said, I'm walking in freedom today because the Word of God was spoke into my life. Because the Word of God, I consumed the Word of God. Because I began to consume this Word of God. And I walk about in freedom today because of the Word of God. Because of God in my life. I am no longer bondage to that sin. I am no longer. I think we need to celebrate sometimes. You're no longer in bondage. Because the Word of God has set you free. Because the Word of God is the very breath of God. Because the Word of God is active. Because the Word of God will go down deep. Because the Word of God will tear down the wall between you and Him. Because the Word of God will counsel you. Because the Word of God will take your eyes off of worthless things and turn them toward God. Wow. Psalm 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, when I read that verse, and I know it's very familiar to most of us maybe. You know, when I read that verse, you know what I think of? I think about going to my tree stand early in the morning, and I'm trying to get there, and I walk this path, but now it's dark, and now I'm tripping over everything. I'm getting whacked in the forehead with some kind of branch. And then I think I can get there, and all of a sudden I get there, and I'm not there. I'm somewhere else. You know how much things look different in the dark than they do in the light? And God says, I'll turn on the lights for your path. I'll turn on the lights for every single day of your life. I'll light the path right before you. You'll never have to walk in darkness. I will turn on the lights in front of you, and you will walk in light. The word will illuminate our ways. Look at 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. That should be my life verse. You know what it says? You know what that says to me? And I have written in my notes here. It says this: the word of God can sharpen even the dullest of knives. That's what it says. Well, I don't know. I'm not too much of the Bible guy. I'm not too much of this. I'm not too much of that. I don't have any degrees, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. And God says, I don't care. You might be a dull knife, and you might be all chipped up, but I can sharpen you anyway. It doesn't matter. You got the anointing. It doesn't matter. Oh, if I lead you there, I want you to go get it. If I lead you to Bible college, I want you to go there. If I lead you to seminary, I want you to go there. I want you to follow me. But don't think that if you don't have those things, don't think that you can't understand the word of God. I can take even the dullest of knives and make it sharp. I can make wise the simple. And you've heard me say, and I truly believe it, I am not the sharpest tool in the box. Just truth. But it's amazing what God will do. It's amazing what God does in your life. It's amazing what he'll do. Stop thinking you can't. God says you can. And just be honest, I like most of you. All of you. But you're nowhere near God. And I'm going to trust God over you. And he says you can. He said, I'm going to make wise the simple. I will lead you into the word of God, and I'll make wise the simple. It'll be amazing. You'll see what I'll do. It sharpens even the dullest of knives. What other product on this world or on this earth promises such things? Billy Mays would be amazed. As he did an infomercial for the word of God. Can you imagine doing an infomercial for the word of God? Of the people in the United States, out of 340 million people, 88% have this laying in their home and never open it. And it's not doing that in our lives. It's not doing that in our culture. And I do believe our culture is in moral decline. And I don't think it's going to turn around without men and women of the Word of God standing and living, and hearing, and moving, and praying, and loving people, and being set free. And know when you've been set free, that another person can be set free. Because God gives you that confidence. Why don't we read it? Well, maybe we would say it's not relevant or do not agree with it. I doubt many of us would say that here. We maybe don't have time, and if I can just run back through and says, we will not walk the wrong path if we read the word of God. Just let me tell you, you don't have time not to read it. It's like, I don't have time to see where the town is I need to go. I don't have time to push it in my GPS. I'm just going to go. Why, really? Where? You take time. You take time to find out the spot. You take time how long it'll take you to get there. You take time to see if it's at least, if it's north, south, east, and west. You haven't got time to drive every wrong direction. So if you don't have time for the Word of God, you don't have time not for the Word of God. You'll be driving in circles looking for the place, and you'll never find it. So I think that blows that argument out of the water. I don't have time. You don't have time not to. Neither do I. Maybe we would say it's too hard to understand. And maybe we can agree on that sometimes. But again, let me say, I think we go to the Word of God too many times and don't rely on the anointing to understand it. And of course, we've added the ASV and the CEV and the ESV and the KJV and the NIV and the CV, NCV and the RSV and the NAS and the NAB and the NEB and the REB and the QRX and the AWZ. And Just pick one. They got more alphabet in the Word of God than it does in alphabet soup. You know what I mean? It's just pick one. And we spend a lot more time arguing about the translation we should be reading than we reading the translation. For crying out loud, just get in it. Is this a good translation? Yes, read it. Yes, read it. When you get done with that one, try the next one. When you get done with that one, try the next one. When you get done with that one, try the next one. When you get done with 12 of them, let me know which one you like the best. And each one of those brings something to the table. And I think we try to understand. I believe we want to understand. But I've written in bold on my notes, I believe we give up without a fierce fight. We don't fight to understand the Word of God. No, I will not give up. No, I will not cry uncle. You can twist my arm all you want. I will not submit. I'm going to understand the Word of God because I don't have time not to understand the Word of God. And I don't want a wall between me and God. I want to understand the Word of God, and I will not give up. And I believe we don't rely on the anointing. I want to ask God for understanding, and just let me share a few more verses. The sun's starting to come out now. I'm going to preach a little longer. You see, the psalmist in the big woods, he knew. The psalmist in the big woods knew. He come to know and come to understand what the Word of God was doing and would do in his life. And so we also see through the big woods, we also see the psalmist crying out to God. And say, God, I need this understanding. I need this understanding. God, I am not going to give up. I'm going to have it a fierce fight. I am not putting it down. I am not turning on the TV. How fast you can spend an hour and a half on your smartphone that makes you stupid and not in the Word of God. It's amazing how fast I can spend a half an hour catching up on my Scrabble game. But 10 minutes in the Word and I'm yawning. Do you think there's any spiritual stuff going on there? Look what he says in 119, verse 8. Look what he says. I will obey your precepts. Please do not give up on me. I love that verse. Please don't give up on me, God. Have you ever cried out with that when you're reading the Word of God? Say, God, I want to understand your Word. Please don't give up on me. God, I know I need you. I want to understand it. I don't have time not to understand it. I don't want a wall between me and you. I need counsel. I need comfort. I need this in my life. Don't give up on me, God. Fall on the floor. Lay on your Bible. Put it on your forehead. And just refuse to give up. And say, God, I need to understand this. Don't give up on me. It says you'll sharpen even the dullest of knives. That's what I want, God. Don't give up on me. I need you, God. I need your Word. Look what he says in 119:12. Praise you to be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. And these words are words of moaning and crying out. These words are pleading with God. Don't give up on me. Teach me, God. Teach me, God. Train me, God. Teach me, God. Train me and give me the ability, God. I want to grasp your ways. Have you ever just spent time just with the Word of God saying that? Start there. I don't understand the Word. I don't know where to read. Just lay on the Word someday and say, God, just don't give up on me. Teach me, God. Romans 1:19-18 says this, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. And I love that word wonderful in the Hebrew. It says too difficult or beyond my power. That's what it means. Show me the things that are beyond my power, God. You know what he's saying there? Because I'm tired of living only under my own power. Help me, God. Open my eyes. I may see those things that are beyond my power to see, God. But you can turn on the lights, God. You said you could. You can turn on the lights and you give me this understanding of the Word of God. And I want it, God. I want it. I'm hungry. Don't leave me alone. Don't give up on me, God. You said you can sharpen even the dullest of knives. Sharpen me, God. Open my eyes to what is beyond me. Awaken me to my heart to the amazing. Verse 19 says this, I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. You know what he's saying there? I have got not a clue of what I'm doing in this life. And God, I'm trying to navigate through this life, and I'm trying to navigate through this life, and I can't figure it out, God. But you said you can, and I want to follow you. Don't give up on me, God. Let me finish with this verse 125. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes or your word. Give me discernment. The word means the know-how. Just give me the know-how, God. I just want the know-how. Because I know what it'll do in my life. I know what you've told me it'll do. And I don't know if I believe that right now, God, but I believe you. And I'm not going to put my trust in this world anymore. I'm putting my trust in you, God. And you said you could do this in my life. And I'm gonna ask you to give me the know-how and the understanding or to the knowing it intimately. I want to know your word intimately, God. If you're having struggle understanding the Word of God, I would just say start with those end verses and just start crying out to God. Say, God, I'm not going to give up. I'm coming after it, God. I'm coming after it, God. I don't know what I'm doing in this world. But I know your word will never leave me over the cliff. I know your word will never build a wall between me and you. I know your word will comfort me in my sorrow. I know your word will give me counsel in all life situations. God, don't give up on me. I want to be a man or a woman of the word. God, I want to know you deeper and more. I want to know you intimately, God. $31,104 off the hook power that'll transform you and me into mighty men of and women of God. Let it happen, he says. God, thank you for these moments today. Thank you for how you love on us. Thank you for 31,104 off-the-chart powerhouse verses. Thank you because of those verses I know that Jesus loves me, that God, that you love me, that you sent Jesus who loved me, that he went to the cross for me to forgive my sin so that I may have a relationship with him. Father, thank you in this word that it says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Whatever the enemy is trying to throw into my life right now, whatever lure is in the water that's been pulled across in front of me, that I will not give in to it. God, don't give up on us. God, we cry out to you, don't give up on us. You said in your word you can sharpen even the dullest of knives. Sharpen us, God. Sharpen us with your word. Sharpen us so that we're men and women of the light. Sharpen us so that we can be men and women in this world that come into those lives of other people that you want us. Those people in Walmart, those people at the gas station, those people in our families, those people at a life group, those people on a Sunday morning. I know one of the guys at Men's Link prayed, give us the glow of Moses. So, Father, give us the glow of Moses as we become and are and become and intensify our time in the Word of God, learning about you and learning about us and learning about those two entities together off the charts. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for each person that was here today. Father, may we go out of here smelling like God. And may the people around us take notice. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You have an amazing day, New Lifers.